On the Record on News Talk.
Brought to you by PwC. Great minds think unalike. Different skill sets, diverse opinions, it all adds up to the new equation.
Now, we are joined in studio by the Green Party councillor and former Lord Mayor of Dublin, Hazel Chew. Hazel, you're running for the Shannon. I didn't want to immediately introduce it by saying again, but it's the third time in 2 years that you've sought election to the Shannon.
Yes.
Why you, so keen?
Again is okay. So several times in a couple of years I've sought to run for things. And I know a lot of people think, well, that's a bit desperate, but it's not. It's what we should be doing. We should be encouraging women. We should be encouraging everyone to run for politics. Like, this show is about politics and the ups and downs. And I hear callers calling in with their issues of politicians. If you want to change things, elect different people. If you want to change things, run for office. And for me, after my year in Lord Mayor, I've realised there's a lot that we've done with the city that we can carry on to do in the Upper House and also in Dyrrachtas.
Like what?
First and foremost, gender-based violence. We've had a long few weeks of coverage of it, but it seems just like another a phase for people that this, everyone talks about the watershed moment, that this will be it, this will be when things change, but it doesn't. And until we have more people willing to change things on the policy and legislation level, then it won't. Simply put, since 2007, we've been talking about education reform and policy in relation to harassment and consent, and we need to bring those in.
But does changing the identity of one member of the Oireachtas meaningfully change that, when a lot of that is going to be engineered by the government and by Helen McEntee, who's the minister responsible for that anyway? What difference will having one different voice in the Shannon make to that?
I think a lot of people go, oh, it's just one person. When you have one person and one person, one person, it adds up. So, and the other thing is, it's a show that your Oireachtas is made out of diversity. I think there was a very good quote from Sarah McInerney last year of how the pandemic, her predominant memory was seeing three men at the podium. Mm. And we need to change that, because we've noticed with the pandemic that women and the marginalised get left behind, and they end up bearing the brunt of the pandemic. So that one person, be it me, be it anyone else from a female and preferably from a diversity background, can bring more to the table.
What are the other things that you say that you were able to bring forward in your time as Lord Mayor that the Shannon could continue with?
Well, I was on the National Nighttime Economy Task Force from the Minister's Department. I think, being that industry is on its knees at the moment across the nation, we need to bring in proper economic supports in place, and we need to look at a better, greener economy when it comes to nighttime industry. And we need to make it safer as well for workers and businesses. But during my time, I brought in the integration and inclusion strategy for DCC, and we need to look at migrant rights across the board. Like, we talk about strengthening, we need to talk about abolishing direct provision, but we need to strengthen education within the system as well, and strengthen the rights that direct provision occupants have. We also talk about women's rights during my term, and I touched on that just now, but there are loads of things in relation to gender rights, free contraception, remove advertising of infant formula, tackling gender-based violence. These are all the things that I want to move on to bring on further.
And all are very laudable, and people can make up their minds about whether you're a worthy candidate on those basis. But it sounds like with a lot of those things that you'd rather be running for cabinet rather than Shannon, because, you know, it's up to your Green Party colleague, Roderick O'Gorman, to deal with gender equality issues and some of the other issues that you've mentioned there. It's up to Stephen Donnelly to progress free contraception, which he made a start on in the last budget. It's up to Helen McEntee to deal with a lot of the justice issues around gender equality and other issues as well. Again, those aren't really things that any member of the Shannon, let alone one member, can have that much influence in changing.
No, and I'm not naive enough to go, oh yeah, I'll go in there and just like reform the system. But I am certain that being in there and being able to push and being able to prod people that you've all noted in certain directions does help. It does provide that move or changing of the dial. But on top of that, my constituents, so I'm a Pembroke councillor, a good portion of my constituents were our Trinity graduates or our graduates that were living in Trinity Hall. And last year, as Lord Mayor, Trinity College was at my doorstep. Mm. I spent a long time talking to graduates and trying to figure out, because a lot of people go, well, why this seat now? Because I spent the last year talking to graduates on what we could do better. Mm. And even in terms of third level reform, we need to start providing PhD and postdoctorate to earn a living wage. Otherwise, yeah, they'll end up going abroad. We need 40% of women on boards again, in universities.
Absolutely fair. But then one of the other candidates who's already declared for this is Giselle Scanlon, who's the president of the Trinity Graduate Students Union. And one would think that if that was the vehicle, if people wanted to vote on those concerns, they'd probably vote for the person who's already the head of their SU.
Yep. And I think Giselle is a very good candidate. But I've been told by a lot of graduates, why don't you run? So it's not a case that I just woke up one morning and thought, well, I'll just go and run for this. I went to speak to a lot of people before I declared. I took my time declaring. And part of what I think I can bring is that experience and also that connection, being able to work with these ministers as well, being able to directly say, and that's what I did last year when it came to Dara Bryan, when it came to Roderick O'Gorman, when it came to Helen McEntee.
Well, on that note, some people might wonder about whether the Green Party is a very comfortable home for you at the moment. People will know that you obviously sought election or sought nomination for the Dublin Bay South by-election. You were unsuccessful in getting the party nod for that. You're known to have not had a brilliant relationship with Eamon Ryan as party leader. Two of the three Green Party members who are currently in Shannon Éireann vocally expressed no confidence in you for seeking to contest the last Shannon by-election somehow against the party's wishes or against the party's nod. People wonder whether you're a team player and whether you can actually utilise all those connections if you were to be elected.
Well, first and foremost, you don't always get along with who you work with, or you don't even get along with your family sometimes or like them, but you respect them and you work with them. And I think after my 5.5 years of being chair of the Green Party and being national coordinator and executive of the party, I think a lot of people within the party will say I am a team player. Insofar, I help manage the party to a situation where we've gone from a handful of councillors to then the historic 12 TDs, 4 senators and 48 councillors around the board. I was part of that management team. Mm. I was part of behind the scenes. And I think a lot of people, when they look at team players, they don't tend to see people who are behind working. Mm. So they only see people who are out front shouting sometimes and getting into trouble. And that happens to be me as well. So,
but when you fielded the last Shannon election, it was as an independent candidate, which when you're competing then against a Green hardly seems like the most respectful thing to do for your party or for your principles.
For last time.
Yeah.
So last time was, I think a lot of people, there was a lot of things said and a lot of names called. But at the end of the day, my position was very clear. I had support from Minister Catherine Martin, Francis Duffy, Joe O'Brien, Nessa Hargan, Patrick Costello, and a lot of members on my party. I did speak to people within the party. I spoke to the executive as well. And the executive, if they thought I had done anything wrong and I wasn't a team player, they would have had the chance to kick me out of the party then. So, and they chose not to. And at the end of the day, I think that was what it was. It became a very public division which shouldn't have led to that. It should have been kept private. Mm. A lot of parties
didn't have to emerge at all, because you had contested the nomination, you didn't get it. Most people would just say, right, didn't get it this time, I won't run as an independent then, splitting the vote with my own party colleague.
But I did get the nomination, Gavin. Like, I'm not going into dwell into this.
No, okay.
But at the end of the day, I did get the nomination. I even spoke to the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach as well to make after I was contesting, just to make sure we were all respectful and happy. And mm-hmm. I got very positive messages back from all.
Colm, who has texted into 53106, who is a graduate of UL and DIT and therefore doesn't have a vote in Senate elections, is wondering whether you would commit to implementing the Seventh Amendment to the Constitution and finally give all college graduates a vote. Because some will say, yes, the system can only be reformed from within, but that it's already a very elitist thing contesting an election which is only eligible to Trinity graduates to vote, and that you're almost compounding that elitism by vindicating it by running it.
You know, I'm going to, some people will say I'm going to shoot myself in the foot here, but I'm running for this election, but I'm not a Trinity graduate. A lot of that has already been said. And
of course, you don't have to be.
But you don't
have
Trinity
to be. Graduates
but
who
again,
vote.
Again, I think part of not being a graduate, but speaking to a lot of graduates and being encouraged by a lot of graduates to run in it shows that this is a democratic election, that anyone should be able to run. And as such, he's right saying that anyone should be able to vote as well. And that is something we need to change, because when you get into this office, into the upper house, you are representing the nation. You are representing Trinity graduates and all their concerns, but you are representing the national agenda. And that's what I hope to do.
So you'd like to be part of some movement to try and expand the franchise?
I do. And I know Dave Norris had been working on a lot of Shannon reform and Nimran as well. I think we need to really push that. I think Trinity themselves, the graduates themselves, I suppose, to don't want it just as a, well, this is our vote, because they know at the end of the day that this represents a national seat. So I think we need to push for that.
Just on a totally separate note, your interview today in Sunday Independent, and Hugh O'Connell makes the observation that part of your rise to prominence was because of your willingness to call out some of the racist abuse that you've been subjected to on social media. Did that die down much in the period between being Lord Mayor and then contesting elections again? Because I wonder whether it is a case that, is it just because you might be loud and vocal, is that what brings it out? And is it a case of being out of sight, out of mind to a point?
Well, my recent, one of my recent detractors, my name is now called Chicken Ball Chew, apparently. Probably shouldn't say that on air, but it's funny, since I announced, that is the type of messages I've been getting and the type of titles I've been getting. And it again brings back to the point of, if we encourage more minorities and more women to come to the table, it will normalise the situation where people don't think the likes of a Hazel or the likes of a Yemi going for election is that big a deal, and don't think that, that it's out of the norm. If you want to fight that far-right racism rhetoric, you need more people at the table. But did it die down for a couple of months? Yes. And purposely, I took a step back for it, because I think for the sake of my own mental health and family, I wanted to make sure I got out of it. But then I realised, you know what? At the end of the day, you're... what you do and say will influence other people in future taking the time and thinking about going into office. And what I want to make sure is that my daughter's generation, that anyone of any colour, of any background, should be able to go, you know what, she can do it, I can do it too.
Hazel Chew is one of the candidates declared so far for the vacant Shannon seat for the Dublin University constituency. Others that are named so far include Owen Barry, Ray Bassis, Tom Clonan, Hugo McNeil, Adi Oliborode, Rian Alberto O'Gibbon, Sive O'Neill, Ursula Quill, and as we mentioned, Giselle Scanlon. Hazel Chew, thank you very much for coming in to talk to us this lunchtime.
On the Record on News Talk.
Brought to you by PwC. Great minds think unalike. Different skill sets, diverse opinions, it all adds up to the new equation.